The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 13th of January, 2021. On the podcast today, Bill Brodie-Good, CEO and Technical Director of Alien Metals, provides an update on their copper, silver and iron ore projects. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and part of SP Angel, talks about lithium and the following companies: Iron Ridge Resources, Savannah Resources, Codal Minerals, Cornish Metals, Blue Rock Diamonds and Power Metals. And as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most read RNSs too. By the way, you can check out both these lists at foxmarkets.co.uk. We'll see lots for the content. In fact, there's an elevator pitch there by Galliford Try. There's also our COVID-19 index. Biggest rise today is Tiziana Life Sciences, up 11%. There was up yesterday, I think. It was the biggest rise yesterday. 153.5 is the price there. Biggest fall of the day is Dev Clever Holdings, down 5.26% to 18 pence. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Bill Brodie-Good, CEO and Technical Director of Alien Metals. UFO is the ticker there. Bill, thanks for joining me.
Justin, great to chat, and happy New Year to you and everyone.
Yeah, happy New Year to you. Well, started off, it's not that happy, is it, really? But hopefully getting happier as we get this vaccine rolled out and people get sort of back to normal. So, yeah, it's something to look forward to in 2021, which is different to 2020, where it was getting worse. But there we are. So, having said that, the share price of your company's done very well in 2020, so that's good news. But you've just mentioned a drill program. Capstone has shortly commenced a 2,500 drill program, Donovan 2, and we'll talk about that in a second, but that's not the only thing you've got going on, Bill. So if people not familiar with, you know, Alien Metals, just give them a brief overview as to what you're all about, please, Bill.
Well, Alien Metals, thanks. We're a sort of, I say, junior, you know, resource-focused explorer, developer of projects, you know, with currently holding projects in Mexico and Australia, and adding as we go, looking at reviewing, adding value to sort of low cost early stage exploration projects in the right commodities in what we feel are the right jurisdictions. A lot going on.
Excellent stuff. Okay, let's talk about this one then. This Capstone, to shortly commence drilling program at Donovan 2. This is your copper silver project. Take us through this, the background, if you could build in some of the detail.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the crucial thing here is we had signed an earn-in agreement with Capstone Mining, who are a mid-tier Canadian miner. I mean, you know, they're a serious player in the market. They have their Cozamin mine, 40-odd k's away from the Donovan 2 project. They've sort of ticked all the boxes for their first expenditure requirement, and are very keen to move forward with the earn-in agreement. So that's really fantastic news for us, and I think for the project. So we can now sort of not quite sit back, but we can sort of watch from a distance this inaugural drilling program that they will finalize the specific drill holes once they get the results of the detailed IP, ground IP survey they just completed. Which is very relevant type of geophysics for the ore body, you know, the copper copper sulfide target that that is there. So great for us, great for the project, really positive all around.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know, is there a time frame on this, Bill?
Look, I think from talking with the Capstone team, their budget's in place, so it's a fact. There's a factor of finalising the results and the interpretation of the geophysics, and then factoring in you know, movement restrictions that might or might not be in place due to COVID. I know they've got a drilling company lined up already, so they've got the people. So it's just really, it's Q1. I mean, they're very keen. We secured the drill permit. We sort of had it revitalized the existing one. So they're in a position to move forward as soon as sort of all those various aspects come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. And Australia, what's happening there? Just a quick summary overview of that, if you could.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, we're very fortunate. We've been busy in Australia. We've been busy over the break. We're, you know, finalising the maiden drill program on the iron ore, one of the iron ore tenements. We are finalising doing an airborne magnetic survey over the large Elizabeth Hill area, which would include both the existing mining lease where the mine is, and also the new ground we recently acquired. And to tie in, basically, there's a lot of sort of random, small, localized magnetic geophysical work that's been done. But what we want to do is very cost effective. But we, you know, in 2021, we get a brand new, detailed air mag work program done that then we can really tie in everything, all the old data. So that's really exciting, and that'll be getting going soon. So sort of watch this space, really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff. Okay, Bill, well, if someone's listening, likes the sound of the news, potential news flow coming up, and you know what you're doing there, but are not yet following the story, just give them three bullet point reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
I think first one is the commodities. We're you know, silver is a growing commodity. The demand's increasing with technology. Great commodity to be in, and we've got some really good projects in those. Another commodity, you know, iron ore as a second commodity, fantastic. I mean, it's probably one of the highest points in several years. Demand still exceptionally high, and we have some really excellent potential in the projects we have for the DSO, the king of iron ore. And copper, you know, again, third in a great jurisdiction with a great partner. You know, that's three. And then I think, yeah, we're going to be developing and upgrading and adding value to all our projects, and hopefully bringing new ones to do the same thing with in the coming year, 18 months.
Marvellous stuff. Good to chat to you, Bill. Hopefully, like I say, lots going on. So no doubt we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Great to speak, Justin. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good. Thank you.
Yeah, we've just been looking at the, you sent me a chart there of the lithium price, and it's gone from 5,000 in, well, when was that? In September, I think it was, up to pretty much September, October, up to 8,500 now. What's that? What's the metrics there? 8,000 what? 8,500, what's that? Dollars per tonne? What was that?
This is dollars per tonne for lithium carbonate.
Okay.
That is the next best thing to the lithium that goes into your lithium ion batteries.
Yeah.
Remember, those batteries have got quite a number of different commodities in them. I mean, lithium is the most important bit, clearly.
Yeah. Are you able to, do you know offhand, I don't want to put you on the spot, but of what makes up a battery? How much lithium goes into a battery? Because, I mean, nickel is, what else is in there, apart from lithium? Nickel as well, isn't there?
But nickel, graphite, cobalt, manganese, They're the key components. Nickel and lithium's not the heaviest bit because lithium is such a light metal. The heavy parts of the battery are the nickel and the graphite.
Yeah.
And I guess the manganese is coming along behind that. The battery chemistries that, because there are lots of different types of lithium ion battery. The battery chemistries are really focused on what's called the NCM, nickel, cobalt, manganese batteries. They all have lithium as the core of their chemistry.
Oh, so, do you know what? I was looking at that John chart there then, and so that's not a worry really, because it was saying obviously you need lots of lithium, but that's the one that's highlighted, right? I look at here, so lithium raw material in lithium-ion batteries, only a fraction of 1% per watt, or less than 1% of the battery cost. So that's not going to impact battery manufacturers that much, is it? It's only that amount, you know?
No, not at all. But of course, the cost of that lithium has been very low. In fact, the price was severely depressed last year, and it fell to under $4,000 a ton, which was extraordinarily low. Yeah. Prices now have recovered to $8,500 a ton, and I think they're headed back up. Maybe not to the peak of $24,000 a ton that we saw a few years ago, but I do think it's going higher, because there's so many new battery factories being built in the world. I mean, there's 16 in Europe, about 160 in China, I think. It's big numbers of gigafactories, either in production or in planning or in expansion. So there's so much going on. I mean, we see new numbers on almost daily on electric vehicles. Yeah. The Chinese expect their electric vehicle sales to grow by 30-40% this year, and to overtake diesel sales. Mm. I'm not sure when they talk about those numbers if they're including diesel vans, because as we know, the Ford van, whatever that's called, was the biggest selling vehicle in the UK last year. Really, because of all the huge demand for delivery drivers and delivery vans, and that overtook the Ford Fiesta for the first time in many, many years as the most popular selling vehicle. Well, I think in China we'll probably see something similar, and they do have a few issues in China at the moment. They've closed down two cities recently because of the coronavirus, and as we know, the new variant strains or mutations of the coronavirus in the UK and else and in South Africa are spreading faster than the last variant, which was quite a fast spreader itself. So, I think things can easily get slightly worse before they get better. But the stock market seems to be looking through that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? I mean, let's be honest. We are, you know, sooner or later, sometimes you get a lag. I mean, for a while, copper, you know, we didn't understand why copper wasn't catching up, because there's more copper in EVs and all that stuff, and yet it did start to motor a little bit. But I think, you know, tip of the iceberg, there are lots of inflection points, I think, right now with EV. Things like, you know, for the first time ever, EV sales overtook diesel in this country, which is, I know it's from a low base and diesel slumped a little bit, but they're saying now, I think it was last year they predicted that EV sales would increase by 50%. Now they're saying that could be conservative even. And in Norway, more than half the cars now are EV, 54% I think it was. And people like Apple are getting involved. And you see all these bits of news coming together and you think, all right, it's really going to start motoring now EV. And of course, anything connected with the EV battery, you know, is going to rise. So lithium, of course, is going to rise. But like I said, looking at that, the fact that only 1% of the batteries, cost-wise, is lithium, I don't think will impact, produces that much. But I think this is one of the biggest trends we'll ever see in our lives. The last one, I think, was the internet, pretty much. But I think the EV trend is going to be huge, don't you?
Yes, I mean, when you look at the hundreds of billions of dollars that are being committed in new investment mainly by European EV manufacturers, but also in a certain amount in the States and clearly a lot in China. It's almost as if the entire Chinese economy is banking on taking over the world of car production through huge investment. I mean, just so many new battery factories coming through, and many new electric vehicle manufacturers as well on the blocks. I mean, there are a few in the US and one or two over here, but the Chinese are really going for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay, well, let's look at some individual companies. Talking about, you know, EVs and all that stuff, you mentioned Iron Ridge there coming up with some news. What's the deal there?
Yeah, Iron Ridge, just defining more targets for drilling on their lithium project. It's called the Ewa Lithium Project in Ghana. So more work there, and I mean, we would expect to see that project expand. It's on the coast in Ghana, and Ghana's a pretty sensible country, certainly from a mining perspective. Mm-hmm. It's always been one of the it's a good country from an African perspective to work in, and we know people who are working out there at the moment. We were talking to Goldstone earlier this week, who are busy with the gold project out there. But no, Iron Ridge, I think, having a good time with that project. They've got a 14.5 million ton resource at 1.3% lithium, which is nice. And as I say, it's on the coast, so shipping the material off to China, because China is the only place for lithium processing at the moment, would be relatively simple. We also follow Savannah Resources, which signed an agreement with a group called Galp, a very big company, Galp Energia. And Galp are going to put $6.4 million of cash into Savannah quite soon for a 10% stake. So, it's less about the cash. It's more about what Galp is actually going to offer in terms of helping Savannah to develop that project, which is important. And then the other one is Kodal Minerals, which has a lithium project in Mali. And Kodal are currently in discussions with the Chinese, who are doing lots of due diligence on that project with a view to developing it. And that's helped by a group called Sue Chin, who own a significant stake in Kodal Minerals. They actually process lithium in China. And Sue Chin are very keen for a bigger Chinese group to come in and help with the development of that project in Mali. So that's a bit further away from the African coast, I'm afraid. But actually, it's good quality lithium, which probably makes the journey worth taking. So quite a lot going on in the lithium space. But the world clearly needs this lithium production to come through, because otherwise there isn't going to be enough to feed all these gigafactories.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And that'll happen, though, won't it? I mean, it's like anything. Money pours into it, and and more discoveries will go on. More exploration will go on, won't it?
Absolutely, yes. Definitely more exploration to come through on the lithium side. I mean, if we look at a group like Afritin, they've got lithium in with their tin in Namibia, which could be quite interesting and could be a good sideline for them as well. And let's not forget that the tin price continues to go up. It's over $21,000 a ton. I mean, if you think that a ton of copper is about $8,500 and a ton of tin is $21,000, you see there's a big difference in price.
Yeah.
Just not an awful lot of tin producers to invest in right now.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned before we come on there, it's a nice little segue, John, but was it Cornish Metals? What are they doing? Because they're going to list, aren't they?
Cornish Metals, currently listed in Canada, announced their intention to float on the AIM market in London this morning. We're involved, so we will be out there banging the drum and raising money for
Cornish
Metals.
Is it tin drum?
Yeah, probably. And of course, this is close to our hearts, because Simon Beardsmore and myself, who work as mining analysts at SP Angel, we both started our careers in Cornish tin mines many, many years ago. So we've been down there with shovels and pickaxes in the past, and rock drills, and we know the territory. And it's very interesting in that Cornish Metals were looking to develop the South Crofty tin mine where I worked as a student. And actually, that's a problematic project, because they have to dewater it, unfortunately. But while they were fiddling around with that, Cornish Lithium, who've been drilling for lithium brines, actually hit high grade tin and copper on a license area that was owned by Cornish Metals. So that was an accidental discovery. It was very, very good news. And I think that's going to turn into something more substantial. So we're probably not allowed to say too much more about that by the lawyers, but I'm pretty interested in that business, in the development of that business going forward.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so let's move over to diamonds. Girl's best friend, apparently. It's very odd having a diamond as a best friend, but there we are. So, you know, in this lockdown, people get lonely. So what's happening from Blue Rock, John?
Well, Blue Rock announced what had been going on through last year, and particularly in the last quarter. They suffered with the rain, as they seem to do, but we know they've been putting measures into place so that the rain will not stop play again. But they had quite a good year. They processed 25% more tons than in 2019. Unfortunately, that was offset by the diamond price pulling back by 29%. Really very annoying. But diamond prices are recovering now. There's good demand for their diamonds because they produce particularly good and particularly valuable gem quality diamonds from the Kurrovili mine. So I actually think Blue Rock's going to have a fantastic year. I think every metric I look at is going to rise by multiples. So it's a business that has struggled a bit in past years. But with Mike Houston at the helm there, he's the guy that led the turnaround for Shanta Gold, and he went back to South Africa and was persuaded to get involved with Blue Rock Diamonds, and I think he's doing a fantastic job. He's expanded capacity, he's improved the mining operations, and for me that's a significant turnaround situation, a good opportunity for investors.
Wouldn't you just like David, if you worked for Mike there, just, you know, once in a while just have a problem and just call him up, see, Houston, we have a problem. I bet he gets sick of that, doesn't he?
I've never tried that one.
What else is there? We got, you mentioned also Power Metals. Paul Johnson, he's also good at, getting his stock under the nose of lots of private investors. He's good at promoting it, Paul.
Yeah, I like Paul. I think he's got a very good nose for it. He understands the mining sector, and he likes to back good people. So he's involved with a couple of groups in Botswana. Mm-hmm. He's involved with the Katoro people, Katoro Gold, and they're drilling a nickel project actually in Tanzania, which and nickel's one of my favorite metals for the year, again because of the huge demand for nickel from electric vehicles. But he's also involved down in Botswana with a number of groups that are looking under the Kalahari sand for copper and nickel projects. So I think watch this space, because I think Power Metals looking quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Anything else, John, worth talking about?
I think that's all for now. There is quite a lot going on in the mining sector, and I think it's got a long way to go this year. It's a very interesting place. I mean, my favourite stock there is Bushveld Minerals.
You've not mentioned that before, John. You should mention Bushveld a bit more, I think.
We have seen some improvement in ferrovanadium prices, which is nice.
Yeah.
And long overdue, because they had a tough year last year from a pricing perspective. Not to mention the disruption from COVID in South Africa when things got locked down. It's taking off again. And what we're hoping for is that there'll be more orders for vanadium redox batteries that should be good for supporting wind farms and solar farms going forward. So, I'm worried that the UK is going to have such a reliance on wind power and that we're going to end up with rolling blackouts, as seen in certain other parts of the world. If they don't put in enough ancillary support, because when the wind blows too hard or when the wind doesn't blow in the North Sea, we're going to lose a lot of power off those wind farms. So I think the UK government should not be closing, its gas and coal-fired power stations quite so fast, because I think we're going to need that backup power probably before some of the nuclear stuff comes back in.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak to you next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Synergen, up 10% to 170. At four, Ark Minerals, up 23% to 5.05. At three, Blue Star Capital, down 2.22% to 0.22. Wow. Hey, that's good there. At two, Argo Blockchain, up 1.49%, I should say, to 102.5. And at one, Shield Therapeutics, It's down 1.8% to 53.5. Okay, top five most read RNSs are as follows. At five, Argo Blockchain. Trading commences on the OTCQB market in the US. At four, Gritland Gold. Newcrest approves early works funding for Havieron. At three, Novacyt Holdings and Companies. At two, Tizian Life Sciences. Appointment of Chief Medical Officer. And at one, Synergen, first patient dosing in Phase 3 SG018 trial. And there was coverage of that on the BBC News as well. So, a lot of interest there. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.